Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
It was a great game, wasn't it? Man, just two good teams competing at a high level against one another.
It's a snap, going to keep it himself the third time. Goes right side this time, and he dives, and he is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen. Now the snap. Rolls to his right. Fires wide open. Tyler Croft. Touchdown, Buffalo. That's too easy. Too easy. Fires into the end zone. It is caught. Caught in the end zone for the touchdown. Stephon Diggs. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Going up 28-3 as a team, we got to be better. We got to make sure that we're keeping our foot on the pedal, and we got to put that game away.
Gets rid of it quickly, and it is caught by Robert Woods in the backfield. Now cuts to his right. Gets inside the 15, inside the 10, down to the 5, and he is into the end zone. Touchdown. Throws it to Cooper Kupp. Makes a catch at the 5. And he cruises into the end zone. Touchdown, Rams. Goff gives it to Henderson. He is into the end zone. Touchdown. Rams take the lead with 4.5 minutes left to play.
In those moments right there, you know, when we find out what we're really made of.
Goes right side. Fires over the middle. Caught by Cole Beasley. Trying to dive for it. And he's got the first down. Josh looks. Guns it to Cole Beasley. Caught at the 24. Heads up field. Gets down to the 15-yard line and stopped there. Josh sets up. Fires down the middle of the field, incomplete
yes.
to Gabriel Davis. There is a flag on the play and a pass interference call coming up against the Rams.
I wasn't trying to force the ball into the end zone. I was taking kind of what they were giving us, and I knew we had time. I wasn't trying to panic. Our team wasn't panicking.
Josh going to throw it. Looks, fires into the end zone. He's got Tyler Croft open. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bills! A 4-yard toss. Josh Allen to Tyler Croft.
Calm breeds calm. Our guys did a good job. They were very calm, very poised, and they believed in themselves in the critical moments of the game.
On WGR.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! It is Lee Smith!
Sports Radio
Thank
550.
You. Oh my God.
Who knew this song was so long? And finally, Lee, I mean, you put that at the end. I'm touched.
All right, we need the 12-inch dance remix of Sweet Smell of Victory to fit all these Bills touchdowns in.
I mean, my prom wasn't this long. So, Lee Smith, one snap, one touchdown. How much better can you do? I don't know. Well, this is all pretty surreal, these Bills. Like, they're just sort of blowing away. Not sort of. Kind of, well, I'm saying it again. I'm trying to couch this a little bit, I guess, in the back of my mind. Blowing away your wildest expectations for what they would be, at least on offense. And, you know, I keep coming back to when we talk about this every day and yesterday. I mean, I think there is a lot to what has happened here with them. There's a lot to it, and we all know it. I mean, that's what they've done with the roster, wide receiver, offensive line, what the coaching staff has been able to do, the continuity point, the offensive line, the story, analytics. The story is Allen, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're here on another Monday looking at Twitter or ESPN or whatever and like, oh, what's this? 1,000 yards, 3 wins. How many guys have ever done that? You know, like it's last week with the 700 yards. And really, he is the story, I think, with all respect to how much more has gone into making this happen.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start somewhere, and you could choose to start somewhere else, but eventually, you would get to, you know, an Allen chapter, if you will, in this build of the Bills, and that's would rightly be the largest chapter. I mean, there's the most to be gained by his improving and playing at a very high level, and we're witnessing that. There's no one else. I mean, the coaches are definitely impactful, but they can only do so much. It's got to be, you know, the guy with the ball has got to be able to handle it and make more good plays than bad, and he's that's putting it mildly right now with how he's going. So, yeah, that's where it starts. Everything else, you know, you go get Diggs to help establish Allen. You get Brown and Beasley last year to help establish Allen. You know, you get lineman reinforcements on the offensive side of the ball to help Allen. Like, that's everything's about making that work, and I don't think that there's any reason to really ever duck that. You know, I think we've learned over the last few years maybe that the coaching and the scheming and different things that the Bills are also availing themselves of matter a lot, but nothing still matters more than the guy with the ball. That's to me where it all begins. And, you know, he continues to be one of the biggest stories in the league. He's not the only big story in the league, but he's one of the biggest stories in the league for a third Monday in a row.
Well, it's partly because of what he kind of represents in the league or how he was analyzed coming into the league. Like, you know, sometimes these players, we learn about them when they're drafted by the Bills, and when they're drafted and sort of what's said about them can be remembered and mentioned for their entire career. But it really doesn't matter after they're picked. It's just like this guy is a very special case, maybe even a unique case in the league for somebody drafted as early as he was with all the importance of a quarterback being picked like that. Out of nowhere, you know, like kind of out of nowhere. Maybe Wentz is similar, you know, but somebody that just did not have college success and yet still got this opportunity. And of course, I mean, anybody who's paid any attention knows what the conversation has sounded like about him, you know. On one hand, you've got big and strong and, wow, look how far he can throw it and all these other intangibles and everything. And then you have, on the other hand, but he's not accurate, and you have these kind of weirdo plays where there's laterals and just, you know, silliness. Like, it's just such a great combination of elements that have gone into this. And now it is just surreal to me. I mean, I'm somebody that, like a lot of people, I mean, you, whatever, you do you. A lot of people question this. And here we are at this point where, you know, he's kind of breaking records so far. So I just felt like for what the last few weeks have been like talking about their results so far, and my instinct to want to point out, okay, well, look at what Stephon Diggs is really worth and look at all these other elements. He really, I felt like I needed today to be like, this guy is just turning on its head the collective criticism and expectations, you know, that were negative. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I'll bet it feels pretty good for him. I'll bet it feels pretty good for anyone who was at least open-minded to the idea that he could be good. And I definitely count myself in that camp. I mean, I don't feel particularly good. I mean, we'll see. There's still a lot of season to go here. But it is, you know, it strikes me as you're laying that out and talking about the, you know, the weirdness, like the strange plays, the sort of unhinged Josh plays that we've seen through his, you know, first couple of seasons. Yesterday was a day where I think you got everything all at once, like all in one game. You know, we've had the bizarre plays, but they usually aren't plays that end up in games the Bills win. Like, usually reasons why you lost, if nothing else. And yesterday, like, to me, I mentioned this in post game a few times, it feels like the first time, and I think this is progress, that we had evidence of Josh trying to do too much, running a little too hot, and he was able to collect himself and still make enough plays to help them win the game in the end. Instead of having, you know, the story be written, oh, it's just like the playoff game. He just got, you know, the pressure, that, you know, they were after him. The pocket was collapsing and all this stuff, and he got harried and he blew it. Instead, he made some weird decisions and lost the ball a couple times and still managed to find a way to win. And like I feel like in a certain way that is emblematic of progress, because it didn't just become the story of the game was Allen, you know, he went off the rails again. Sometimes that happens. Oh well, 2-1 on to Vegas. Instead, you know, he got it together and made, I mean, 3rd and 22, he made big plays, man. And it's got to feel good for a lot of people that were involved in making the choice. You know, I don't know. I'm hesitant to say that because it's
too early.
Still 3 weeks. Yeah. But I mean, holy crap.
Yeah. It can feel good today that you just know. And I mean, as far as Sean McDermott goes, I don't doubt he's like this, that, you know, they're not celebrating. I'm pretty sure. McDermott has this very strange way of revealing, I think, in press conferences sometimes, that he's got, like, I don't know, like this sort of dark side about the media or the criticism. He's on some level, he's aware of it. And like that came out briefly again yesterday in his Zoom call. But like, this is not an area in which I want to question him, because he does not come off in this way at all, that he's like, you know, they think that they've actually won anything.
Right.
So I feel like this team has shown that they're pretty level-headed, and it starts with him in that. The quarterback, of course, it is a major story. It is an incredible story. And, you know, here we are to enjoy it so far through these three games. They are pretty lucky yesterday. I mean, they were pretty lucky yesterday. But look, the quarterback point, I don't know, maybe it goes without saying, obviously. Look at the numbers, look at the games. There are so, with New England, think about, if you really follow the league, if you pay attention to what we talk about often over the years when it comes to the Patriots and their edge, and this isn't just the Patriots, but it's rarely been the Bills. There are these details, these little things that good coaches, that smart teams can do, and they often just go without even being mentioned. And I feel like maybe this pass interference penalty at the end is one of them, because like if you've talked to somebody who thinks that was a bad call, or you might think yourself that was a bad call, what one thing like I've heard listening to the conversation about that is, well, Davis has his hands on the other guy too, like it's both of them, right? So, you know, then you have the other point, especially at that time of the game. But, you know, I don't really want to care about that too much, because a penalty is a penalty to me. I'm a hockey fan. I've watched in hockey forever.
Yeah, right.
Penalties are not penalties depending on what time is left on the clock. So I don't want to be about that. But, like, Davis having – it just makes it easier to get the flag if there is contact. So maybe you initiate that contact. If it's offensive pass interference, you play again. You don't lose, you play again. Like, it's something that I would want to coach my players to do. And then Allen, he has no time, right? Like, it's a jailbreak. Come right in front of him, on his right, here come the Rams, and he throws the ball in that direction. Like, maybe he's going there anyway, but he throws the ball in that spot, and it all has a, you know, to whatever extent you think, they all play some part in the flag being thrown.
Mm-hmm.
And that could even be more than just these things. It can be McDermott or someone else on the Bills sort of cluing in an official about a certain thing. Who knows what kind of things like that there are here. But I want to give them credit. You put yourself in that position, and you can do things to help yourself with officials, with rules, and the Bills seem good at that.
Yeah, I would think, I mean, a player like Gabriel Davis, I mean, he's only been here a few months, but he's probably been coached, you know, out of high school into college to, you know, on certain sort of plays to, try to, you know, get contact. Like, it can be something that can be helpful to you if, you know, if you're not going to end up with a completed pass. Like, just try to draw the foul. I mean, ideally, you just try to get open and make a play, but you can also enhance your chances of, you know, of making the situation even more favorable if you do initiate that contact, or at least make it unavoidable. It's the same thing for the defender. Allen, I'd love to know, like, is he throwing that ball thinking, this is my best chance? You know, I got to get rid of it. Here come two guys, so I better get rid of it. Like, does he see the contact? Is he thinking about the contact? Is he throwing it because there was contact?
What's your guess?
Maybe.
I think my guess would be yes. You know what you could look at there, too? He doesn't take off. Like, that's something that's maybe the biggest difference in his game to me than last year, is he stays in the pocket. And even there, it's 4th and 9, right?
Right.
Like, this is it. And they're down. Like, this is it. And here comes the rush from his right, and Davis isn't open. I mean, that pass, he wouldn't you think, when he throws that pass, what chance does he think he has of completing it?
It can't be real high.
How is Davis going to – I mean, he could have just missed him, but how does Davis get into that space? Forget it. Like, as soon as he throws it, it's not being caught. So I don't think he is assuming the flag there. And maybe if he could do it over again, he puts the ball closer to Davis, right? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't try to run around the right end. You know, he doesn't try to – makes, like, the kind of things you've, and sometimes successfully,
yeah,
you've seen him do a lot. So the way it turned out, you end up saying, well, that's to his credit because they get the call and win.
Right. Yeah, like, maybe you don't, I mean, you know, I love your, I'm a hockey fan, like, a penalty should be a penalty. But I mean, we're all marred by years of watching both of these sports and seeing officials not make calls in those moments. I'd say football is more likely to make a big call like that, as evidenced by yesterday, and even, you know, there's plenty of other examples. The NFC title game 2 years ago, you know, you'll get that flag, but I think you got to get the ball there, you know? Like, I wonder if that pass is thrown somewhere else, if the official still would have thrown that flag.
That's, you know, interesting.
I because the timing of the flag, that flag comes out, I mean, that ball's rolling around on the ground when that flag hits the ground.
And like, and the
I don't
Ram
think
guy,
it's coming.
Yeah, you might be right. And the Ram guy has got his hands off of Davis, you know, like, I'm not touching him, you know, before the penalty. So
yeah,
you might be right.
So, I mean, I and again, you know, maybe Allen will get asked this at some point. I don't recall that he was yesterday. You know, what exactly he sees on that play and what he's doing. Like, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't want to give him too much credit. I mean, we're building this, you know, these 3 weeks into this legendary status already. And I mean, look, they've been great. But it's possible to me, at least, that he just threw the ball over there hoping for a flag is the best possible outcome. Because the way he threw the ball, I mean, it wasn't it really wasn't that near Davis. It didn't have a real chance of being a completion. And, you know, I think at that point you might just hope, like, you know, maybe I get a break here.
Well, without what? Normalizing, I think, is the word, for era, we probably are looking at the best 3 weeks of offense in team history, or close to it. I mean, I say the part about the eras because now, like, a lot of teams are scoring like crazy. So maybe it only is if you just forget about what era you're in. But still, look at the touchdowns. Look at the interceptions. Look at how we're not talking about field goals, right? That's been one over the years. There's a whole list of these. Over the years, there's been like, well, why are you playing for field goals? This team, has that even crossed your mind lately? Like, playing for field goals.
No, you know. And, you know, playing for field goals, settling for field goals, it wasn't until this afternoon, looking back at another highlight package, that I remembered that the first touchdown of the game to your buddy Smith is on 4th and goal.
Right.
Like, and that's not even, I mean, that was so long ago, so much happened in the game, you know, from then until the game ended, that it's like a footnote, but, you know, it wasn't that long ago that would have been huge news, that the Bills went for, you know, opening possession of the game. Is that what, or second, maybe it's their second possession? I don't know. Whatever.
Second possession.
Score of the game.
Yep. Second possession, but they have just had 4 plays down low and not scored.
Right.
And they never run Allen there, which is kind of weird because that's their best play. But they scored anyway. That's how it's going. Yeah, like that is just not, whether it's there or anywhere else, you're just not thinking about, oh, well, if only they had gone for it on 4th and 3 from the 35 or something. Like it's just, but, you know, part of that too is the efficiency. You know, these touchdowns that they score from the 1 yard line, not all of them looked easy, but a couple of them kind of do. You know, it's just great design and preparation. And so there's why you have guys open. Seattle was like this yesterday, too. I think Wilson threw 3 touchdowns from the 1 yesterday, too. Like, how many years of watching football, how common is that? How many 1 yard touchdowns? Unless it's to a guard who has reported eligible. Right. And then, okay, oh, wow, you used that up. Okay, you used that up. But these are like, Tyler Lockett caught all those touchdown passes for Seattle. And you have Diggs from the 1, and you have, well, tight ends here anyway. The Bills' starting tight end doesn't play. And they get 3 touchdowns from that position. Anyway, I mean, guys, those of you who've been listening to us for years and watching this team for years, holy cow, this is off the charts. This is, I didn't need this. I'll take it. I'm loving it. I didn't need this good to feel like this is going well or this is working. You know, this is above that. And so one thing you might want to do with it, now again, like somebody's going to call, people usually don't call when they win, but somebody might call and say, like, yesterday this happened, but they gave up 32 points.
Yeah.
Right. One thing more positively that you can do is look at tonight's game and really, like, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And even perhaps, and this is a conversation I want to have with you, wondering about whether or not you'll want New England to beat Kansas City next week. And how tonight's outcome might affect that. That might just be sort of like I hit you with that from the side, and I'll lay that out. But
now, you know, I already piece it together. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's you know, it's early, but it's, you know, it's part of the game. It's part of all of this. You know, when your team is you know, 3-0 and they look like a real legit 3-0. Yeah, it's never too early to be thinking about the conference.
803-0550 is our number. Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Eric Wood today. Mostly here for your calls. Our conversation. Lines are open now. I'll stop there for now. Let's hope for some of your calls here, and we'll talk some more Bills after this. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It says that when we're down, we can come back. We can face adversity. That says a lot about this team and what we did today. It's hard to win in this league. You got to take every win and be happy. We're all happy that we were able to come out on top.
All right. Gabriel Davis has found his way to that book that has all those lines in it. And he, masterful. I mean, what a cool player he is right now. Like, this season did not need this, but it has this, you know? Like, you had pretty good, last year you had 2 very good wide receivers added to the Bills, and still at the end of the year went, I need another one. And so Diggs happens, and then they draft 2 more. And this guy, I mean, he matters.
Sure, I mean he's a reason. It's, you know, right from the first game of the season, the fact that he played almost half the offensive snaps and everyone was healthy. Now yesterday he played a little bit more because John Brown didn't play at all in the second half. But you know, your big three are your big three. You want to spread people out. You want to hurt people with your passing game. Well, who's that fourth guy? You know, largely I think before the season we would have probably suggested it's Isaiah McKenzie for that jet sweep type look, and like that's still an element of their offense. But another receiver, and this guy happens to be really unlike the other three in that he's a bigger body. Than even Diggs. I mean, Diggs is the biggest of that other group, but he's not a big receiver per se. Davis really is. I mean, he's not the biggest. He's not DK Metcalf or anything, but he's a big framed guy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And so it gives you another, you know, another card to play in your passing game. And the Bills being open-minded to him having a role is still, you know, just remains right from opening day a great sign to me. Because it indicated to me that they want to be this team, this passing team. And that wasn't just a one-week thing against the Jets. It's something that they, I think, might believe they're capable of doing against, you know, maybe anybody they play.
Bills at Raiders Sunday, 4:25, as the Bills try to get to 4-0. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Here is Carter with us. Hi, Carter.
Hi, guys. Love the show, and I'll get right to my question. When Josh Allen is making fourth-quarter comebacks, would you describe it as confident, playing without nerves, or expecting to win? Or is it more of his nerves are increasing, and his fight, his energy, and desire to keep the play alive, for better or worse, is kind of going up and rising? I've been hearing a lot of that first answer where it's, you know, no nerves, expecting to win. But I'm not sure that's right. Not that the fight is a bad thing, but just throwing defensive linemen down, backpedaling a little bit different than your Brady and Breeze type comeback. What's your take? Does anything here represent what Brandon Bean meant with the draft comment of this guy is Buffalo?
You know, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to ask you back. Does it have to be either? Can't it just be that guys go out and play the game when it's their turn? I mean, I know the problem I have convincing anybody of this is always that players themselves refute it. Like, here we just had Gabriel Davis. Like, every player on the team is going to tell you something about how that showed character. I mean, I don't know. I feel like they put themselves down talking like that. I don't think teams quit very often, you know? I mean, I think that you could have called adversity every other drive the Bills had in the second half after the Rams were coming back. But, you know, on this one, they get pass interference and they get, you know, you get the pass interference because you're going forward on fourth down. That's data. That was because they had to. I don't know. I'm not that guy. Maybe Bulldog is. I mean, I think to talk about Allen in the fourth quarter as a thing puts him down for the rest of the game.
Well, I mean, then I guess I'm going to put him down for the rest of the game. I definitely don't want to do that either. But I think the point that I'm trying to make repeatedly since yesterday is that, like the playoff game in Houston, I think the fourth quarter, winning time, pressure, like, I think that's all real. I think we want the guys to act like it isn't, but it is. It's a different time of the game. It's the time to go win the game now, and that matters more than when you've got still three quarters left to go in the first quarter. From a mental standpoint, it's just different. I'm out of rope. I don't have a net anymore. We've got to do this. And I think you've seen Allen at other times, and even yesterday, sort of try to do too much. That's where I think that comes from. But the story to me yesterday is that he overcame that. And so I don't need him to try to not do as much, because that's who he is. Like, that's how he's going to win. Ultimately, they won because he did enough. And, you know, sure, you want no mistakes, but that's unrealistic. You're going to get mistakes. So I think there's a process to learning how to manage your emotions in those moments. And I think yesterday was a step forward for Allen in that regard. I don't know if that answers the caller's question directly, because I don't really know what the importance is of differentiating between the two options the caller presented. I think it's all it's all there to watch Allen sort of manage and learn how to handle. And yesterday was significant in that I think he handled it in a way unlike he did earlier in his career. That's all. It takes time to learn how to be in that moment and not be overwhelmed by it, I think.
It's something about to how you're wired, you know? Like, I don't think about this so much like you do, but I think the kind of player he is like sort of a big play player. And one thing that can show up in the fourth quarter is that's when you have to have it, like you said. And his instinct is to try to get it. And Tyrod Taylor, who I thought was underrated by fans here during the course of his career, this was a problem for him. He was not wired like that. And when they needed the conclusion here might be that this is a thing, actually. But when they needed that sort of thing in the fourth quarter, late in the game, Taylor's instincts were different.
Mm-hmm. Taylor might have been. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No,
I think I like where you're going here. Taylor maybe treated it the way you initially responded to the caller. The fourth quarter is the same as the first quarter. To take my read. They left the guy in the flat open, so that's what I'm going to do here because my best receiver was double covered, and I'm not going to force the ball because I don't turn it over.
Well, right, but I think the same thing is true of Allen mostly. What I'm saying is, like Taylor, his instincts are evident in the fourth quarter, but they're just different.
Well, yeah, no, they are. I got to do this now. Somebody has to do something or we're not going to win. And dumping it off isn't going to get it done. So I need to recognize the situation is different and act accordingly. And, you know, yeah, you get some high wire with that. I mean, you do get stuff that is not ideal, but, you know, that's who he is. You know, I don't want him to not try to shake off Aaron Donald. You know, like I think if he can do that, I want him to do that. And I know I'm going to lose the ball sometimes. You know, I'm also going to get away sometimes. And that, you know, that can make a difference for them and for him.
All I'm saying is he doesn't dump it off in the first quarter either. Like the way he played late in the game is how he plays. And late in the game, you need it. Well, you know, he is looking for those plays all the time. And there are some. You know, there is a restrictor plate depending on the situation. But look, if they're at 3rd and 25, what's the yard line when they hit the pass to Diggs before the, you know, it's the third to last play? When they're at 3rd and 25, it's the second quarter. He's doing exactly what he did there. His goal is to do exactly what he did there. The defense is probably different because the game is on the line, but maybe not. The defense might give you a field goal opportunity in that spot. And that's what he did. He got to 4th and 9. And every announcer in football would call that good. It's just that in this situation, they had to go for it because they were going to lose. In the second quarter, they're going to kick a field goal. Everybody's happy. You know, you compromised. You got 3 points out of 3rd and 25. So for the most part, I feel like I don't think it's even a great point, but his style is suited for that because he's going for it. You know, he's the opposite of Taylor like that. He is just going for it. And it's part of what's making this so much fun, I think, is that that he is like that. That's really the number one thing, I think, about this is how much fun it is. And I'm not dressing up in Bills gear to watch them on TV. I'm not like a lot of fans in that way. My fun comes from analyzing it, trying to predict it, trying to find things and interesting things about it. And I'm good, too. I'm getting tons of that. I'm getting tons of satisfaction out of this team because that's what I like about sports, right? I mean, mostly, that's a big part of what I like about sports. And this team really makes you think and sort of go back and try to, well, how did they do it? How did they get from a team that for years was bland and would not take risks and did not seem to get value and like all this other stuff to whatever this is. The thing about this, like, for all that being said, and that is the overriding point for me. Like, this, it's not even their record. It's like that this is just really fun, and they're of course very interesting. They're live. They got away with a lot these last 2 weeks. Like, they could easily have lost both of these games. One thing, Bulldog, if I'm not going on for too long here already, but one thing I was thinking about. So you have Allen's stats, which are themselves a story. The 1,000 yards and touchdowns and everything like that. When we talked about for years the 300-yard mark, always there would be some pushback. It's not about yards. It's not about stats. What's the record of the quarterbacks who throw for 300 yards? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they had lost both of these games the last two weeks because they couldn't stop the Dolphins or the Rams, would that be happening? Wouldn't that be happening? Like, hey, they're throwing for 300 yards. The kid looks great.
No, for sure it would be happening because the defense has been run over largely in these two games, and there'd be a lot of calls for time of possession and keeping the other offense off the field because the defense is getting tired and you're scoring too fast or something. Like, you know, sure, yes, it would be there. Whether it would be accurate or not, who cares? But would it be there? Yes, it's football. Yeah, there would be, you know, people who maybe have been afraid to call us since the Bills have been winning games passing the ball for the first time in our lifetimes, it feels like. I recognize it's not really the first time in our lifetimes, but it's been a long time. But those people would be back to tell us how Frank Gore mattered. Surely, because it's football. Like, there are fans all over the spectrum. And I'll bet, like, we've raised this now. Someone is waiting for the Bills to lose a game and, you know, throw for 350 yards, but they give up 200 yards rushing, and they somehow don't make the play at the end, and they lose. You know, that's exactly what could have happened yesterday. The ref didn't need to throw that flag. You know, I mean, he could have kept it in his pocket. Again, that ball game. Thanks for coming, everyone.
It's not the first good Bills passing team in our lifetimes. It is the first good Bills passing team in this show's lifetime.
Yes, that's for sure.
So far. Like, it's not time yet to call that, but that's how it's looking. And it's good, a good thing, because this is more, by, you know, dramatically, the league has evolved this way. And you can see just, you know, watching late games yesterday, watching Dallas or, you know, Green Bay last night. Look at the numbers. 803-0550, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Eric Wood coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to him. Bills and Raiders next week. That's a 425 game. There is some buzz today about the possibility of fans being allowed in for the next home game, which is the night game against Kansas City. We'll get you what we know on that in just a bit. First, a word from my friends at Outlet Liquor with a couple of popular fall items in stock worthy of mention. One is Southern Tier Pumpkin Whiskey. Hard to find item, I'm told, and Outlet Liquor has it. Also, for keeping with the season, Bailey's Apple Pie, new and in stock. So check those out at Outlet Liquor. There is so much more. The Gimme 3 section is the best way to stock up on wine and save money while doing so. Hundreds of top brands in the Gimme 3 section. Kim Crawford, Cupcake, Chateau St. Michel, Josh is another one. Josh, how about that? Outlet has great prices all the time. One bottle, you're going to save money, but when you buy two, you'll save a dollar or two more. At three, you'll save at least $3 a bottle, and so on. As much as $5 a bottle when you buy a case, and you can mix and match and try different ones that way. The Gimme 3 section at Outlet Liquor. The selection and brands you enjoy, great prices too. Outlet Liquor, George Urban Boulevard in Depew. Outlet Liquor, what's your outlet?
But the conversations I've had with the Bills in the state is I believe that at least 10%, which would be a little over 7,000 fans, would be safe as long as you had time, entry, and exit, which means the game may end and you would not be allowed to leave your section until your section is called, and you could not enter the stadium until a certain time before the game.
Well, there is what I was thinking of mentioning here, that the county executive, Mark Poloncar, speaking today, said they have had conversations about some number of fans in for the next home game, which is the Thursday night game against Kansas City. That's 2.5 weeks out. 7,000, that the Bills had asked for 9,000. I don't know. Is there a significant difference to you in that. There might be, there's got to be some reason for the difference, but 10% of capacity. And we need to hear from the state on this, but
yep.
Otherwise, I think we might get there after
yep.
that.
And so far, the state, I heard Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, basically, she said nothing. I mean, she just wasn't ready to make any kind of a commitment or even a prediction on what was going to happen there. So the state has been, to my ears, pretty quiet so far. But, yeah, we know the Bills sent a group to Miami to look at what Miami was doing as far as, you know, protocols, letting people in and just, you know, having, you know, whatever amount of people were there last week. I think they allowed for 13. I don't think they got 13, actually. 1,000 in Miami. So, yeah, I mean, I you know, cross your fingers. I guess you can certainly be hopeful that within 2.5 weeks, we'll hear much sooner than that, that something will change on that front.
Here is Kurt with us. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to say about Josh Allen maybe trying to do too much or something like that. I have faith in him because he went from last year, like, trying to do too much and being a gifted athlete. But now he's fitting into a state-of-the-art offense that scores points and moves the ball. Another factor I thought was the defense was getting gashed. I thought the defense was struggling even while the Bills were building that big lead. And then in the second half, and I was watching Tremaine Edmonds, and he was sucking air, and Matt Milano, those guys looked gas. And so I think maybe the offense had to do something, you know, spectacular to win that game. Now, I haven't seen the Bills' defense struggle like that unless you go back to last year against Philadelphia. Philadelphia kind of imposed their will on them.
You can go back to last week.
But, what's that?
You could go back to last week.
Yeah.
You know, Milano and Edmonds were not in the field, and that's significant. Maybe that you're thinking yep. that way here, but, you know, I don't know, Kurt. This is going to sound like a cop-out maybe. I think good offenses in 2020 NFL play do whatever they want.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Your defense could look bad on a given week.
You know? I mean, a lot of good defenses go up against good offenses these days and get shredded. It looks like that a lot. It looked like that last night. It looked like that in the late games. It looks like that in all the Bills games. I don't know. Like there is a place here for being good on defense, but I think in this league, the way the rules work, the way the game has evolved, good offenses like the Bills are going to be able to do whatever they want. So, I don't know.
That's a good point. I didn't think of it that way because I thought, like, in other words, like the Philadelphia game last year, what the hell's going on, you know? These guys are, like, getting gashed up the middle and, you know. Another thing about Josh, another point I wanted to make was he's fitting into a state-of-the-art offense. And this is a guy, I believe he had to play junior college football because he didn't get any D1 offers, but he can run that in an offense, you know, and he wants to improve. So the stuff like when he, you know, throws the lateral out the sideline and stuff like that, I believe he can improve on that.
You can see that he still has a penchant for it, but I don't know. I don't hate that stuff as much as some other people do. I think you got to score, and that helps you score, and they're going to be bad plays from that, but also good plays. So, you know, let's go.
I think the caller is sort of inching around a point that I think, you know, it doesn't have to be right about Allen, but it's one that I made over the last few years, is that his background does at least, to me, leave open the possibility that there's more ceiling for him to give once he got to the NFL, simply because he has not been involved in as much high-end football as some other guys who get drafted where he got drafted. And so the learning curve, it might be a little longer, but that it's because he's just not as familiar with everything that, say, Sam Darnold would have been familiar with coming out of college. And, you know, so your starting point is different, and you got to work to make that up. And maybe we're starting to see the fruit of that work, and he's starting to figure out how to actually play at the highest level. You know, that, I feel like that's the point the caller's making about this offense he's running now, considering that he came from junior college.
Right on.
To start off with. So,
thank you, Kurt. Eric Wood next on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.